For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.
Well, Anthony, I think we were both supposed to be at the opening night of Cats, and other plans intervened. Where were you?
Well, they had to postpone Broadway Trivia Night at the Underground Nightclub. I'm not kidding. So I was there competing.
Oh, a make good to maintain your star status in the world of Broadway trivia?
Broadway trivia. Yeah.
Oh, come on. Give us a sample question.
The questions were very easy.
Oh.
Yeah. They would tell the entire plot of Oklahoma and then ask you to...
Name that musical.
Name that musical. Yeah.
Okay.
It was fun nonetheless.
But if you haven't heard, Cats is in town through Sunday, February 10th. And I'm still eagerly waiting to see the new choreography by the Hamilton choreographer. So something for the millennials to enjoy.
Cats, now and forever. When they first said that, I thought they were wrong.
Well, Cats may have been around forever, and it's going to stay around forever, but we both got over to a new play at Subversive Theater, up there on the third floor of the Great Arrow Building in the Manny Fried Playhouse, Tales of the Driven. And I must say, new play had some rough edges, but I rather liked it.
By Kurt Schneiderman, who is the artistic director and founder there. And yes, I agree that it had many things to recommend it. It would be, of course, as one would expect, in need of some development. It's set in a medieval world. It is a blacksmith who is visited by a tour of traveling players and the secrets revealed during the visit of this troupe. It is the well-made play. A gun appearing in Act 1 will certainly be fired in Act 2, or in this case, an empty bottle. Not fired, but to figure significantly into the plot, secrets to be revealed, true motivations to be exposed, that kind of thing, tidily summed up at the end. Not a great deal of psychological complexity, even at moments where it would seem desirable and possible, but that would be, of course, for the future development of the piece, should they desire. Large cast. Very large
cast. Incredibly large cast.
Yeah. By employing Bird's Nest Circus, we get an uncommonly large cast and a set which is a total throwback to the 1930s as well. It had the feel of older material.
Well, Tales of the Driven has some dark, dark plot elements, but wow, if you really want in your face, it's Native Son, the novel by Richard Wright turned into a play by Nambi E. Kelly.
Well, you know, in the theater, in your face is actually a thing. This is not British in your face theater, but it is an exercise in dramatic anxiety. We establish from the very beginning of the plot that the main character is guilty of having killed a woman, albeit accidentally, completely accidentally, without malice. But because he is African-American and it is a white debutante, he knows he's in a heap of trouble, which, truth be told, he was already in a narrative bound for trouble from the start of the play. And it is a sequence of events in which he gets into deeper and deeper and deeper trouble, where he has a choice between a bad choice and a worse choice playing through to its conclusion.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that because I often think of those characters in Avenue Q, the bad idea bears. But this kid, Bigger Thomas, it's not like he's being given bad advice by the voices in his head. I don't think he really has choices, as you say.
This is based on the Richard Wright novel. And in the story, these well-intentioned white people, very liberal, in particular the daughter and her communist boyfriend, think that they are being kind and that they're helping him and that they're being very up-to-date as they go on a spree through the black neighborhood of Chicago, encouraging him to drink with them and blurring a line which society does not at this time allow. And already, this puts him in trouble. This leaves him vulnerable as she gets intoxicated and he has to take her home. And then he realizes when her mother is at her bedroom door, good Lord, I'm in the bedroom of a white woman. I am going to be in trouble. So it's not as if he consciously puts himself, he gets lured into a kind of a trap, which they, in turn, did not intend to be a trap. But the whole point of the plot is that given societal realities, various fictions become real. And that's what happens. I did think that with a plot like that, which is not as action-driven as one might think, that the production does not get quite the momentum, which put a great burden on the actor playing Bigger Thomas to keep it going. So all the juice of it that we might get, we didn't. The curtain call, we could have given Alfonso Walker, who is a very good actor, a more tumultuous burst of applause. I think we've all seen this happen. The play ends, a powerful dramatic moment, dip lights, lights come on, company should stand to a thunderous ovation. Instead, lights go down. Actors scurry quietly off the stage. The audience wondering as they're creeping away, is there another scene? What's going on? All of the impact of that final moment lost. And then they come in high school style, two by two. It could have ended with a bigger bang.
For Theater Talk on WBFO, I'm Peter Hall.
And I'm Anthony Chase.